for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 650 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Eisner-nominated creator Jordan Morris talks about his latest release, Youth Group. Jordan is best known for his previous book, Bubble, but Youth Group is now available from First Second Comics at your local bookstore and comic shop. Buffy the Vampire meets the chilling adventures of Sabrina in a supernatural horror comedy from First Second Books. Youth Group mixes humor, horror, and heart to tell a story about putting aside your differences to give evil the beatdown it deserves. We discuss how the story came to be, who the characters are, and the fact that you can catch up with Jordan at the upcoming San Diego Comic-Con, which he shares the details of during our conversation. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Jordan has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets the chilling adventures of Sabrina in supernatural horror comedy from First Second Books, and it is called Youth Group. And I'm talking today with the Eisner-nominated writer of said book, Jordan Morris. How are you, Jordan?
Hey, Wayne. I'm good. Glad to be here.
It's good to talk with you. I was asking before, why don't you tell people, since I said that, you're Eisner-nominated for what?
For Bubble. Bubble is a sci-fi comedy graphic novel, script from me and a great writer named Sarah Morgan, art by Tony Cliff, and that also came out on First Second Books. It's the story of a bunch of kind of aimless hipsters who have to live in a bubble city and fight monsters and participate in a kind of life or death Thunderdome version of the gig economy to survive. So yeah, it's funny. It's got some gore. It's got some sex jokes, and I'm thrilled with how it turned out. I'm really over the moon that book got made and also got Eisner nominations. Such a thrill.
How about that? Now nominated? Did you didn't win? I take it.
That's we did not win. No, but okay. Honestly, honored to be nominated. I know people say that, but I'm like, yeah, totally true. I had such a good time at the ceremony, and just to be like mentioned in the same room as some of the like amazing people that they had there, it was, I don't know, it was an honor. It was an honor and a thrill.
Was that your first comic, or is that?
It was my first comics project.
Really? How did you get to do that?
So Bubble was based on a scripted podcast that I kind of created for Maximum Fun, the great podcast network Maximum Fun. And yeah, it was like an idea I had, and I brought it to Max Fun. They had kind of wanted to try something scripted. So yeah, they produced the whole thing. So it was like an audio series. And the great people at First Second Books reached out and said, we think this might make a cool comic. And I was just like so excited because I'm a like lifelong comics reader. I've always wanted to do them, but had kind of like given up the dream a little bit. And yeah, it was such a thrill that it happened. And I'm so pleased with how it turned out. I should say Tony Cliff, who did the art, not his first comic by any means. He does a great series called Delilah Dirk. So he was a great handholder through the comics process.
Now, if I read this release correctly, Seth Rogen is producing an animated feature of Bubble?
He is, yeah. We're developing that Bubble animated feature as we speak. So hopefully it kind of makes it out of that development stage into the it's a movie phase. But there's some cool folks involved. And yeah, fingers crossed it keeps cruising.
Okay. Now, and the thing I got to warn people, and I've been doing this podcast for a while, and I always get told the same thing by people when an animation or a different live action version of something comes out. Don't be too married to the script.
Yeah, definitely. Like comics is a group effort in many ways, but the group is so much bigger when it's TV and film. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And, you know, fortunately, we have some really good cooks working on this project. But people definitely have, you know, have visions for it, and people, have differences of opinion. But I think if you're lucky, which I am, you have like cool folks and everybody's ideas make it better.
Well, that's good because, you know, you hire producers and they got to contribute somehow. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what they say is, you know, the main character is a girl. Why don't we make that a boy? And why would we make that a diverse character? And before long, the story doesn't quite look like what you originally came up with. This is what people tell me. Now, I can only go by what people tell me, and hopefully your experience will be different than that.
Yeah, but it's been really great so far. And I think definitely there will be differences from the podcast and differences from the comic. But hopefully it's a cool story that kind of maintains the spirit and a lot of those characters that you love.
That'll be fun. Now, let's, of course, get to youth group. Youth group has there's a paragraph about it. Let me read this real quickly, and then we can get into it. It says, when Kay reluctantly agreed to join the youth group at Stone Mission Church in Orange County, California, she expected the Jesus talk and the dorky sing-alongs and the colorful posters about dodging temptation. What she didn't expect was to stumble on her youth group leaders, Meg and Cortland, in the middle of a real deal exorcism. Turns out they're both soldiers in a secret organization of demon hunters in a war that's heating up, and even if Kay wanted to slay on the sidelines, she doesn't have a choice. She's a blight, a human who demons can't possess, and apparently that's made her a target. Will Kay find her place in a world that's so much more God-fearing and monster-fighting than what she's used to? Will the Stone Mission Youth Group find a common cause with their badass peers of other faiths? Or will a pack of small-time demons use blights like Kay as the key to starting some real big trouble? Youth Group mixes humor, horror, and heart to tell a story about putting aside your differences to give evil the beatdown it deserves.
There you go. Yeah, a beautiful blurb written by the good folks at the First Second Publicity Department.
You know, I got a chance to read the book, and I do have to say I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
It was a great book, lots of fun. You are writing to an audience that is very popular these days, and that's young adult.
Yeah, I think hopefully, like, even though it is like technically a YA book, a young adult book, and that's where it'll be shelved, I think it's a category that people of tons of different ages can enjoy. So yeah, as you know, you mentioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think that show was technically a YA show or a teen show, but like, you know, kids liked it, adults liked it. So hopefully the YA is more like, in this case, more just like signaling that there are teenage characters rather than this is who the book is for. So yeah, because I think a lot of folks would dig Youth Group.
I have to say, I've been reading a lot more YA these days. And yeah, if I go to stores, like, you know, the Target and all those good stores, mm-hmm. I will often find, as soon as I walk in the door, there is the YA book section.
Yeah.
And that is, I wish they'd put comics in there, but the YA section, there's books on dragons, there's books on all kinds of stuff. And that used to be where I would buy CDs of music.
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore. That's long gone. And so the YA stuff, I have to say, I enjoy YA writing.
Oh, me too. Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't know. I think it's actually the better way to say it, instead of saying YA, is all ages.
I think so. I think that's a good way to say it. Yeah. I think there's tons of adult YA readers and probably, you know, some kids who are a little bit younger than teens who check it out. So yeah, and I hope that's what we did with Youth Group. Hopefully there's enough universal stuff and good jokes, cool art, that anybody can pick it up and not feel like it's, you know, not for them.
It's really good. And I have to tell you, coming into it, I was a little concerned. Mm-hmm. Books that are about religious groups, shall we say, mm-hmm. are not always the kindest towards them. So I'm just kind of curious, was there a reason why you picked, I mean, you may not have necessarily needed a youth group in a church to do this kind of story. You could have dispensed with all that. Why did you include a church youth group as the main focus?
Just because it was something that I did growing up as a teen. I was part of a goofy Christian youth group, and we, you know, sang parody songs and made abstinence charts and all that stuff you see in the book, slightly embarrassing stuff you see in the book. And yeah, I always just kind of wanted to write about it. It seemed to me like it was a funny, weird little world. And, you know, I kind of, as you mentioned, I think sometimes it can be something that people don't get right, or they paint with a little too broad a brush. And yeah, so it always kind of just like, it was always in my idea folder as like, write about your teen youth group. And, you know, I always love putting genre into stuff. That's kind of what Bubble was. Bubble was a like struggling in your 20s story that had sci-fi and monsters and superpowers. So youth group is kind of that same thing. It is a story about teens growing up, but we have some religious horror in there. So I thought that, you know, just the youth group setting lent itself to demons and possession and exorcisms. So that was kind of the germ of the idea.
See, I appreciate that you handled that with sensitivity. Maybe that's the way to say it, is that because I have often read, and of course I'm a Star Trek fan, I'm so used to whenever there's a religion or something going on, there's an evil computer behind it, or there's something terrible going on that's behind, and the poor doped humans are involved and they don't know what they're getting into, and they're kind of stupid actually when they go to it. And so I'm always happy when I pick up a comic and it has to do with religion. And the first one I really noticed, I don't know if you've ever gotten to see it, it's a book from Ahoy, and the name escapes me right off the top of my head. It was a really good book about Jesus is sent to Earth by God, and he's a roommate of a superhero like Superman.
Yeah, I think I've also checked out this book, but not read it. This might be a Mark Russell. Mark Russell,
yes, a great Second writer. Coming. That's the name of it. Second Coming. It's a great book. And I've interviewed Mark about it too. And I mentioned my concerns to him too. He actually brings some valid points. If you're not overly sensitive about your religious faith and things, and he mentions they go to a biblical theme park in the book. And I'm not very far from a biblical theme park where I live in the Orlando area.
Oh, really? And, oh, interesting. Okay. That's
cool. And he talked about what would Jesus be like? What would he think if he went to that theme park? And I was really intrigued. At one point, there's supposed to be a guy who's supposed to portray Jesus, and Jesus actually gets shoved out there in front, and he doesn't know the script or anything. So he's talking about what he really wants to say, and they're kind of horrified. So it was really interesting. Anyway, that is, I come to this book with, you know, that I am seeing more and more actual, I thought, sensitivity is the good word, I think, to it, that there are ways to approach these groups without insulting and denigrating groups. I think your book does that spectacularly, I really have to say.
Oh, thanks.
Very nice.
I think we didn't want the characters to be religious villains, right? We wanted them to be like wrong sometimes, and we wanted to be critical and satirical and all that stuff. But yeah, I think we wanted them to be like reasonable people who were trying their best. And I think that, like, yeah, I think everybody, all the characters kind of have, they're at a different place with what they believe and, you know, what they think of church and what they think of organized religion, but they kind of have to, you know, get together for the common good, for the kind of communal goal of not getting killed by demons.
Now, how autobiographical is this book? I mean, you guys didn't go out in your church group. You didn't go out there demon slaying and stuff like that.
We did not, no. And I know that people actually do exorcisms these days, but we did not do any of that. So I think like the goofy songs, that's very autobiographical. And, you know, some of the like family things going on in the book are kind of pulled from my family. Like the kid in the book is having some like family drama that was very much like what I was having at that age. So yeah, so there's some stuff like that. I don't think there's like a self-insert character or anything, but I definitely like use specifics from my real life. And yeah, when I read this book back, I see it as a very personal work, so not something I'm used to doing.
Okay, now, are the characters, because Kay is the main character, are the people in the book, are they based on people you know? Are they creations of your imagination? Where'd the characters come from?
Oh, totally, yeah. Everybody in the book kind of started as somebody I grew up with. That's kind of when I do my personal writing. I like to start characters like that. I like to just start with somebody I knew that was cool or weird or funny or whatever, and yeah, kind of let the character grow from there. So yeah, I all the kids in this book are somebody that I went to youth group with or went to high school with, and yeah, they they change and they grow as you write, right? So they become their own characters, and they do their own thing. But yeah, I definitely like started everybody as just like a funny weirdo I grew up with.
That's funny, because I knew somebody who created the book, and one of his friends desperately wanted to be written into the book. Mm-hmm. And so my friend wrote him into the book, but he didn't tell him that he kills him in the book. And so he presents the book to the guy. The guy starts to read. He says, "Wait a second, you're killing me." He says, "Well, you wanted to be in the book." And so I'm always fascinated to where characters come from. My very first interview I ever did on this podcast was to interview David Peterson from Mouseguard. And I was convinced that he had created the characters from King Arthur's Round Table. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, "Where'd the characters come from?" And he says to me, "Well, they're my friends." "Your friends?" I said, "Yeah, because they're little mice, you know, and they stand on their back. They actually are more closely resemble real mice than they do like Mighty Mouse kind of mice,
right,
and stuff." And I said to him, I said, "Really? They're your friends? I thought they were the Round Table." "Oh, no." He says, I know my friends very well, and I know what they're going to do. And so I just created the characters based on who they were. And I said, "Oh, okay, that explains a lot, because I couldn't quite figure who everybody was on the Round Table." So that's interesting. So you're doing some of the same thing. That's a good place to be, actually, because I love Mouse Garden.
I thought your
character was very good, too. I thought
thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think it's a writing technique that a lot of people use, and yeah, I've had good results with it. So yeah, I think for my future like personal projects, I'll probably start all my characters like that.
Now, do these people know that they're in this comic?
No, I don't think I would tell anybody that. If they recognize themselves, that's cool, and hopefully it's like flattering. But I think I would feel self-conscious if someone said that to me, like, "Hey, I, you know, based this character on you." I think I would read it with skepticism. So yeah, I think that they all became their own characters enough to where, like, if you read it, you wouldn't immediately recognize yourself in it. I don't know, you know, if you went to high school with me and you feel like the character's based on you, let me know. I think they start there and they become something else. So I don't think anybody would be able to recognize themselves, but also I think it would be weird to tell someone that.
Well, because like I said, this other guy, he killed the guy after he did that. It was to let you know, being in a comic is not always a safe place to be.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of fun. So I'm fascinated. One of the creative things I thought was the blight.
Yes.
Creation of the blight, because I don't think I've seen that anywhere. Was that something that you came up with for this book?
Yeah, so Kay, our main character, is demons call her a blight, and that means she can't be possessed. And yeah, as far as I know, that's kind of an original creation. I think I wanted to, you know, throw something new into the religious horror mythos and, you know, set it apart from all the exorcism stuff that's come before. And yeah, I thought this would be a fun way to kind of get our main character, into the action. Just because, like, the people who kind of recruit her into the demon fighting group, Meg and Cortland, they've been at it for years. They know how to use the holy weapons. They know, you know, fighting techniques and exorcism techniques. And we have this new character who just kind of has to get thrown into this demon fighting situation. And yeah, I thought giving her a power would be a fun way to like make it make sense that she was in the group, and also to like make it make sense that she wasn't just dying immediately. So I thought that would kind of be fun. And the idea of a human that can't be possessed, I don't know exactly how it came to be, but it struck me as kind of a fun idea. And obviously you, as you read the book, you will see that Kay has more powers that have yet to manifest.
Mm-hmm. I love the thing on the cover. It says, Kay's new friends pray together and slay together.
It's a good line. I will not take credit for it. That is the first, second publicity department, again, killing it with the catchphrases. I love it.
Now, while we're talking about the cover, I got to ask you something. Your name is not the top. It's Bowen's name is on the top.
Yeah.
Because normally in comics, I do notice that there is a trend these days to go the way that you're going, is to have the writer first and then the artist second. And is there a reason why you're second? Is that what you preferred? Was that first second doing that? How'd that happen?
Good question. Yeah, I guess I don't know why that's how the names are placed. I am very cool with it. I, you know, if you compare the amount of work that a writer does for a book versus okay. the amount of work an artist does for a book, especially a big book like this, this was a long script. And this is not a floppy monthly comic. This is a big old graphic novel. The artist does so much work, and Bowen just did such a beautiful job. And like I think it's very, very cool and fair and awesome that writers or that artists get billed above the writers, and it's their book as much, if not more, than the writers. So I think that like there is sometimes a tendency in comics to talk about a book like it's a writer's book more than it's an artist's book, especially if like the writer's kind of famous. I'm not saying that I am, but I think with other, you know, more famous writers, people talk about it like it's their book and not the artist's book. And yeah, I don't know. Comics is just such a group effort, and I am so like in awe of what artists do and could never even dream about how someone does something like that. And Bowen did such a beautiful job. The characters are so expressive, and I think like they juice the comedy so well, and there's so many just wonderful little details in there that I never could have imagined in a million years. And I'm just like so thrilled I got to work with Bowen, and hope that people think it's their book as much as it is mine.
Is Bowen a co-creator, or did you come up with the concept?
I pitched the concept, but me and Bowen co-created the book together. Yeah.
Okay, so that explains a lot of that stuff. I always explain the writer-artist thing is you can write, you have a full page, a blank page, and you write on the page and say, the building exploded. And
yeah.
Then you turn it over to the artist, and the artist has to make people believe that on the page. So you can maybe write one sentence and you're done, but that artist is going to be spending maybe a week or more making that come to pass. So I'm always, you know, appreciative of the fact that that this trend goes along. So I'm perfectly happy with it. It's just, I think it's your personal preference how you want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we didn't discuss it at all, but I think it's great that Bowen's name is above mine, or however it's built. I'm all for it.
I love the fact if when you get to like the title page. Now, I should mention I have one of the early proofs, and it's got 262 pages in it,
mm-hmm.
which is a sizable book. And let me see if I can get back to the release. It says in there someplace about how much it is. It's $17.99.
Hardback and a little bit more for $17.99 for the softback and a little bit more for the hardback. They're both handsome books.
$25.99. And it says in here it's 256 pages. Maybe there's a little extra stuff that we got in the preview stuff. But very good. And I really enjoyed, as somebody who is familiar with Christianity and some of the things that I do have to say, I was entertained.
Oh, good.
By the things that you came up with, there's a holy hand grenade, which I got a huge kick at the very beginning of the book. This is a hand, and it's holding a hand grenade with a cross on it.
Oh, yeah. That's a little nod to Monty Python there.
Yeah. And I got a kick. Now, did Bowen do this? This has sort of an anime. Speaking of anime, the art has a feel of anime to it.
Oh yeah, Bowen's style is terrific. It feels like it's a little bit anime or manga inspired. It feels like it's a little Walt Disney, but it's very unique. It's very distinct. And yeah, I mean Bowen. I hope people look at the book if they're listening to this and they're like, yeah, I don't know about the concept. Oh, look at the art. It's gorgeous. And hopefully put you over the edge as far as whether or not to purchase it.
Well, it's an entertaining book. I like a longer story, I have to say. You know, because comics come out and they're usually 22 pages a story a month, mm-hmm. and that hardly holds me for a month. So I'm often like these longer books, so I'm happy to see it. And once I got into it, I couldn't stop. I had to read through, and I do have to say, the end is a very satisfying end.
Oh, good. Yeah, I hope it has a fun beginning, middle, and an end. I know that like sometimes the thing that stops people from checking out comics is that it feels like it's not a complete story, or it feels like everything's a cliffhanger. And yeah, I think it'd be so fun to do more of this story, but I think that hopefully you can pick it up and it's a fun, complete, satisfying ride that has, you know, journeys for all the characters and a resolution to the plot. So yeah, we wanted to do that as much as, you know, we love sequels and as much as we'd love to keep cranking these out. We want it to be a complete story.
So there might be a youth group too in our future.
Yeah, we haven't like talked about it officially, but like it, I think it depends on how this sells. So if you're out there and you like it, you like the sound of it, I encourage you to pick it up. And if you pick it up and like it, definitely tell a friend, post about it, leave a nice review somewhere. All that stuff really helps.
Okay, because I'm looking at one of the pages, and there's a set. They're driving in the car, and on the road it says, "Give it up for JC."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's Jesus Christ. Now,
This
reminds me very much of the aforementioned Second Coming book. There's a wonderful a church has taken out a billboard, and on the billboard it says, "Let Jesus be your quarterback." And I remember looking at it and going, "I don't know about that," because it reminded me a little bit of there was a lady I knew, and she was interested. She was very strongly involved in fandom for this one Christian music person. Uh-huh. And he was very much of he was sort of Catholic and sort of wore like priestly robes and stuff all the time. And she kept telling me that he was her Elvis. And I said, "I don't think you want to say that. He doesn't remind me of Elvis very much in the priestly robes and stuff like that." So I would change that. So, you know, when it comes to religious things like this, you kind of have to be you're right. And there's a running gag about being dorky, doing dorky stuff for that. And that reminded me very much of that. And I got a huge kick out of, but you know, when you're a teenager, you don't know that. You don't know what's dorky yet. You're still trying to figure all that stuff out. So there's a lot of wonderful stuff that goes on, and it's really interesting. I'm just glancing through it, and I remember some of the great and funny parts to it that are really great. And she's in danger occasionally, which is one of the things I really like about that. How much danger did you think that she should be exposed to in this book? I mean, because to me, it hit just the right balance.
Oh, good. Know? Yeah, we wanted it to be actually scary, or, you know, spooky, maybe more than scary or disturbing. But like, yeah, I think part of the pitch was that like the horror is real. The horror stuff is real. We're not doing a spoof of horror. We're not doing a, yeah, you know, like, Naked Gun parody of horror, you know, those scary movies. We're not, you know, we weren't doing that. As much as I like that kind of thing, we wanted this to be more of a, like, we wanted the comedy to come from the characters, not from like spoofing spoofing monster movies or spoofing exorcism movies. So we kind of like decided that we were going to take the horror seriously. So we want the people to actually be in danger. We wanted there to be character deaths. We wanted there to be, high stakes, and then to have the comedy kind of come from the characters and their interactions and their kind of, weird quirks.
Yeah, I, and there's a little bit of Buffy involved in the fact that they use Latin.
Yeah.
On occasion, which I got. Did you come up with the Latin or did you find that?
The Latin is, I guess, in all the like exorcism narratives I've ingested, Latin chanting is always like part of it. It's always part of how you exorcise the demon. I just kind of thought our characters should do that. So all the Latin phrases are, God, it's been a hot second since I've read it back, and I need to remind myself what those actually mean. But I think they say some like Latin words to get out the demons, and they're all actually like Latin phrases. It's not like
one is like exi ergo transgressor.
I think it means get out transgressor or get out villain or something like that. Any Latin scholars, let me know. Let me know what we wrote in the book.
Now, of course, I got to ask you: have you ever been to an exorcism?
No, I haven't. And it's kind of amazing. People still do them. It's still a practice. I think it's probably like if it's actually going on, it's probably a bad thing. It's probably people who need medical attention or mental health counseling or something like that. So I guess I'm not a. Not a fan of actual exorcisms, but for the purpose of our fun and funny book, I think they're fun. But we never did them at my church. I never like had friends that did them. But I think it is something that still exists.
Yeah, I there's a show on CBS called Evil.
Oh yeah, sure. I've watched a little bit of that.
We're watching that quite regularly, and I always have to tell myself it's just a TV show. It's just a TV show. don't get that. Now, there's one part in the book that I thought was really also very fascinating was when the different groups interact with each other.
Yeah. So I think something that happens a little bit later in the book is that our evangelical Christian youth group has to team up with some other youth groups. I thought that would be just kind of a fun little detail in the world. If the Christians have demon fighters, surely the other religions have young demon fighters as well. And yeah, kind of wove that into the story. And I think it kind of creates a fun, kind of a fun, let's all band together for the greater good message. Mm-hmm.
Because some groups might not look at that as something positive.
I think that, something that I always thought about growing up when I was going to church was that, like, I never liked how the church made disparaging comments about other religions. I didn't like how the Christians said nasty things about the Mormons or, Jews or atheists. I think that like that stuff was always such a bummer to me. And so, yeah, I think I wanted to create a story where religions kind of like found what they had in common and worked toward that as opposed to like fighting about what makes them different.
See, that makes it reminds me of the old joke. And of course, when you go to church, you hear these jokes all over the place. You get to heaven and you get there and there's this group and it's cordoned off by curtains. There's curtains all around this one group. And the person who gets to heaven goes, well, who's that? And I say, oh, that's the insert name of church group that you belong to there. They think they're the only ones here.
Right.
That is decades old church humor.
Mm-hmm.
Type stuff. Yeah, and sure. And it's always that way because you have to ask yourself if you're a member of a church group, if other people share these things with some of that stuff with you, how does God actually look at that kind of stuff? And I think that you bring up a valid point that there may be more in common than we have that divides us.
I think so. I think that faiths and people who consider themselves atheists. I think we all have stuff in common, and it's nice when we can work on that stuff as opposed to fighting about why we're different.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important messages I thought in the book was that whole business, because that was, I know people who would not care for that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and, for sure.
And it's something I think that we today, particularly, I think the more we can find the unite us, the better that is. So I'm all for that. So
of course.
Do you ever go back to the church that you used to go to in the youth group?
I don't. I haven't been in a long, long time. I have not been. I kind of wonder. I wonder if in writing this, it'd be interesting to revisit it and see if it just to see if it is the same as I remember it.
Or are they actually doing exorcisms now?
Who knows? Who knows?
Well, it's a very entertaining book. It's a very engaging book. And I think the characters are very, very realistic and very relatable and stuff. But you really, as I would like to say, you put the care in the characters.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Very nice of you to say. Thank you.
Because it's, you know, one of the great things. Like I said, the ending is very smart. And it's just a great thing about I'm always worried how this is going to end, you know. Are bad things going to happen to the main character? What's going to go on? You know, I was very happy with the ending.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
So I don't want to spoil it because I want people to read the book and enjoy the book. But I think the art is spectacularly done. I think it's perfect for all ages. Let's say, I don't even like the YA stuff anymore. I think all ages is a better way to promote it because it's smart. And it's in that time of life, you know, this is where many comics are in that transition period where you go from being a child to a young adult to an adult. Mm-hmm. And this is in that vital period. And, you know, you're starting to learn what you can and can't do and what your limitations actually are. And I really like the way you handle all that. I just think that it's smart on how it does that. And you also, by the way, have the demons who show up and stuff like that. So it's
also demons.
Yes, the demons are there. And some people I knew when I grew up might have fell into that category. I was sometimes. They were crazy people. But it's a great read. I mean, literally, the pages just fly by as I was reading it. And 256 pages, once you get started, the only thing I got, when I finally got to the end, I said, oh, that's the end. Rats, I wouldn't mind seeing more of this. So I'm happy to hear that you might be considering further adventures of the youth group. That might
yeah,
be fun.
Yeah, if they ask us, I think we'd try our darndest to do it. So yeah, hopefully folks check out the book and yeah, I'll say it again. If you check it out and like it, definitely do a post, tell a friend, leave a nice review.
Now, one of the good things about it is the holiday season is not far off. And this is, if you have a comic fan friend and they may not have discovered this book yet, this might be a good thing to give us a holiday present. Let's be correct in how we say this. Give this up for the holiday season and give it up for people. And if you know for sure that they have not done it or have not read this book yet, this is a good book to give for the holidays, I think. This might actually be a good Halloween gift as
oh,
well.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if, if you're a Halloween gift giver, youth group, you could do a lot worse. It is spooky. And yeah, definitely if you know a teen that likes graphic novels and that likes funny stuff and spooky stuff, great gift for the teen in your life or any comics reader who likes funny stuff and spooky stuff.
Because, you know, Free Comic Book Day is a big deal, but they're always trying to do the Halloween one and make it a big deal, and Marvel's doing big deals this year for that, and other companies are doing trying to you know, have every 6 months be a Halloween or a big Free Comic Book Day type event. So this might be something. If you're a local shop, let your local shop. I bet they could order it because First Second, I think, goes through Diamond and stuff like that. So you could, you could go in the previews and pick it out, and I bet they'd order it for you. So
absolutely, yeah. You can get it from, get it from any of your online retailers. You can get it from an indie bookstore, but would love it if you get it from your LCS. Definitely, you can order it through Diamond. You can call your You can call your dude at the counter, tell him you want to order it up. And if they don't already have it on the shelf, they'll get it for you. And definitely we love supporting those LCSs. Those are the greatest.
And again, it's called Youth Group, which is something we want to make sure we get from First Second Comics. And you want to make sure you get that to them and let them know. Now, we've talked about this book and we mentioned Bubble that you have already been working on. Are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of?
No, I am just kind of out there stumping for Youth Group at the moment. So yeah, I'm gonna be out there at cons, some of your finer cons around America this summer and fall. So please, if you're gonna be at San Diego, you can check me out there. And hopefully I'm coming to a con near you. So if you want to check out the book, grab it and bring it to me at the con, and I'll give you a signature and all that good stuff.
That's right. Now, as this is posted, the next weekend after is when you'll be at San Diego Comic-Con in San Diego. And so you said you're going to be particularly there for two functions specifically. Do you remember what those were? And you could tell us what those were?
I do. On Friday the 26th, I'll be doing a panel at 1 p.m. called Graphic Novels and the Real World. I'll be doing that with some great comics writers, one of them being Gene Luen Yang, the great Gene Luen Yang, who is a favorite of mine. 2:30, I'm going to be signing with those folks at Autograph Area AA09. And then on Saturday at 5:30, I'm going to be signing at the First Second booth. So First Second Comics, they got a booth. I'll be there at 5:30. So yeah, hopefully folks can come out to those panels or come out to those signings, get yourself an autographed copy of Youth Group. And but if not, if you're not conning this year, please grab it at your LCS or anywhere else you get a book.
Are there other cons you're going to be at, or is San Diego the main event?
San Diego, and then I believe I have confirmed GalaxyCon in San Jose and Rose City Comic Con in Portland. So hopefully more, but definitely those. And if you follow me on social media, I'll be posting times and rooms and all that good stuff.
Speaking of social media, how do we follow you if we want to keep up with what you're up to?
Yes, you can check out all my social media stuff, jordanmorris.net, jordanmorris.net. That's my website. You'll get links to all my social media. You'll get some links to buy yourself a copy of Youth Group and or Bubble. And so just give me a follow there and I'll be posting.
Is there any social media that you prefer over the others?
No, just wherever you're at. I do a little bit of Twitter. I'll still call it that. I do a little bit of Instagram. So, and a couple of the others too, Facebook and Blue Sky. If you're on one of those, I'm there too.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's great that you're doing these kinds of things. I think we need more of these kinds of books to appeal to bring in more readers to the industry. Cause I think comics is a great thing for the imagination. I love being able to see the marriage of the written word and the artwork like you're doing in your book. I think it's really great. Oh, that reminds me of one question I do want to ask you. How did you team up with the artist on this book?
Bowen and I, we were matched up by the publisher. Our great editor, Calista Brill, at First Second, when we started the artist search, sent me Bowen's portfolio. And I was like, we can stop the artist search now. If Bowen wants to do it, then let's get Bowen. And luckily, Bowen said yes, and luckily did a bang-up job with the book. I'm very lucky.
I got to take a look at Bubble. I haven't seen that yet. I'm going to have a read of that because that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm more of a sci-fi guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're a sci-fi fan, definitely hope you'll dig Bubble. It's out there. Yeah, Bubble, same stuff, wherever you get your books and comics.
Well, again, it's Youth Group and from First Second Comics. And be sure to let your comic shop know that you want it. If they haven't ordered it already, they can still put an order and get it. It's out as of the 16th, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
It is. Yeah, it's out today as of we're recording this on the 16th. And the book is in stores today. And definitely when this is out, it will still be in stores, hopefully, and still if something goes wrong.
Have you gotten the printed copies that they give?
I have. Yet? I've gotten my artist copies, and I'm thrilled with it. It's a beautiful book. It not just because of Bowen's art, but because for a second they really do a nice job with their books. So they will look handsome on the shelf after you're done.
Do you still get that thrill when you see your creation in your hands for the first time like that?
It's amazing. It's totally amazing. It's so amazing to have a physical copy of something that you worked on and to be realized so well. So yeah, it's awesome. I don't know. I hope I get to do more comics projects, and I don't suspect it will ever get less cool.
Oh, very cool. That's great to hear, because that's when I helped with a book, and when we actually held it in our hands for the first time, I was the lowly editor. All I did was make sure the commas were in the right place and stuff like
Editors
that.
Editors are important. Editors do great work.
I always talk about there's a difference between let's eat, comma, grandpa, and let's eat grandpa.
It's a small but key difference.
The guy that helped me that I helped on the book gave me a shirt that said punctuation saves lives. which I liked about that. So, well, Jordan, it's wonderful to talk with you. If you get
too,
another
man.
Project, let me know and we'll do this again. We'll talk
Absolutely.
About this.
I would love to. This was such
Lots
a fun,
of fun
chat.
So much great, such a great time. It's good talking with you, and I expect good things from you in the future. But again, if you get a chance to buy this youth group book, I highly encourage you to do so. It's great reading, a lot of fun. When I started, I couldn't stop, so I love a book that does that. That gradually pulls me in right away, and this is one of those books. So be sure to get out there and get it. And Jordan, much success with you. I hope we get a lot of books coming our way from you in the future.
Oh, thank you. That is so nice, and yeah, I hope that too.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support this show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.